guys. Thanks for joining Hit the Mark with Mark Levy. This is your host, Mark Levy, and I have some good news for you guys, because we are back again, and we were not really gone again. I mean, this is episode 3 of season 3, and guys, we have a good one. First off, let me say thank you again to Matt Little and Adam Pasulka. Both were great episodes. You guys seem to be really enjoying them. I enjoy recording them, and this is what makes me happy, guys. Making people happy and recording and learning about people. Fun fact, one of the episodes coming up did make me cry after recorded. It's actually a couple of them did. I've been very emotional recording the season 3. But guys, as I've said before, this is the season of no judgments. Hashtag no judgments. And of course, I have to give a big old thank you to Doug Weidick for making that awesome theme that you'll be hearing all of this season. Probably twice. I don't know. I haven't decided if I'm going to be doing the actual intros live with the guest or not. I mean, I still have a backlog, so that's always nice. But, I mean, what's going to happen if I run out of my backlog? I like recording now, like, a week before I record, before the episode airs, and then having the imminent thoughts of my experience as a host be right before the show that you're about to hear, but like recorded a few, like no earlier than 48 hours before the airing. I don't know, something about that makes me really excited. I don't know if that's going to continue, but so far I've been doing it for the first 3 episodes. And tonight's so different. Tonight's guest is a great friend of the show, Lily Brown. She is really funny and a really great, great person. She was actually the first guest we recorded in season 3. I think I referenced that a couple times. I also want to apologize about the sound quality. It's a little bit less than I'd like it to be. We had some horrible issues that are the reason why there is now a new sound device home recording. But guys, we live, we learn, we be stronger. And this episode's great. Like, it's really fun. Lily's a great guest. I think I was going to really enjoy it. But before I get there, there's something I have to do. And, you know, it's all good. Everything's good. Like, guys, I've been happier than I've been in a few weeks. If you're the reason of it, you know why. but in all honesty, though, guys, like, things are going really swell over here in the Hit the Mark Studios, at headquarters, whatever you want to call it. You know what, guys? How about this? Give my apartment a nickname, like headquarters or something like that. Email hdmpod@gmail.com. I'd love to hear that. Or whatever. I mean, honestly, the show really is a show for the fans. I know that Wichita has been listening for just over 3 years, and we got UK downloading a lot, and still haven't heard from anyone. So if you go to hdmpod@gmail.com, that'd be great. I would love to talk to you. I would love to hear from you. It's all exciting. It's all good. All right, so before I get to the actual, before you hear Lily Brown, I want to talk about a film I saw this week, a film entitled Nasty Baby. It's directed by Sebastian Silva, who directed Crystal Fairy and a couple other really cool movies. It's got Tunde Adebempe from TV on the Radio. I think that's how you say his name. I apologize if I'm offensive in any way there. And Kristen Wiig and an assortment of other people, too. It's about a gay couple that are deeply in love and have been trying to have a baby with a nurse. We find out very early on that the one that's been trying has weak sperm. And now then becomes a question of, should the other guy try when he's not really a good, he's a friend of hers, but the other guy is a lot closer. And what it means. This is not like a normal story, though. It's a pretty slice of life film. There's a very interesting thing with a character named the Bishop that is throughout the film that I don't really want to ruin necessarily. It's been at IFC for a few weeks now, at the IFC Center for a few weeks now, and it's a pretty cool movie, guys. The movie has a fucking crazy third act to the film. I mean, it's literally a slice of life drama in Fort Greene, Brooklyn. And if you want to see a really cool story told very well, very well acted, I highly recommend it. Also, I want to say this. Kristen Wiig is having the most exciting post-SNL career of anyone that I know of in the last 20 years. And that is not me exaggerating at all. But if you look at the films that she's choosing films that she wants to be in. Not necessarily just comedies. She's choosing like exciting films. I mean, like, she chose a minor role in The Martian. She chose this dark role in Nasty Baby. She was amazing and Welcome to Me. Guys, you have to see Kristen Wiig's post-SNL career. It's incredible. I'm very excited to see what happens with the rest of it. The movie hits the mark. And without further ado, you know what time it is. It's Lily Brown time. Hey guys, I am so excited today. This is so thrilling. This is not the first episode you're hearing of the season. It's the first we recorded though, so this is like the first 15 seconds of season 3 of Hit the Mark. I'm so thrilled. This is a person I love so much. She is the best person in the world. And is also saving us a weird tech issue right now. She is on the team Marrow. You've seen her around. You love her. Lily Brown.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, I was saying I was a little nervous because I've never been on a full episode of a podcast before. But I'm very excited. Yeah.
And you appeared on my DCM episode.
Yes, I was on the DCM episode. And that was a good way to just like get a little bit of podcast experience so that now I'm like, I know what I'm
You're
doing,
ready. You know? You're ready.
I'm ready for this. I mean, yeah.
Just like, yeah, I mean, it's just us having a conversation.
Yeah,
that's all it is. There's a real purpose for, like, the setup like this. And, you know, we're just going to keep on rocking, having a good time, enjoying this nice Friday rainy night.
Yeah, yeah.
How was your day today?
My day was great.
Yeah.
Because, basically, I work at City Year. I don't know if you guys know City Year, but it's kind of like an alternative to Teach for America. It's like a thing that you do right after college.
Yeah.
You work in schools. And the school I work at is a middle school in the Bronx. It's like a little bit crazy. These kids fight every day. They get into so many fights. And today was so calm. And we were all like, today was such a good day. It was so calm. Apparently it's because all the kids who've been fighting were suspended today.
Oh, like they were suspended this morning?
They were suspended yesterday. Like, for whatever reason, a lot of kids were just suspended today. And it was like a wonderful calm day.
Because
we had less kids and they were the calm ones.
Cool.
But it was like, yeah, so it was a pretty good day.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a pretty docile day. Today is actually my one day off so far this month because since I'm going to Miami for a few days, I'm doing a lot of work right now.
Why were you in
Miami? My grandpa's turning 90, and he's having a 90th birthday party, and I'm going to go visit him.
Cool.
Yeah, and I haven't been home in 2 years, so
wow.
I haven't decided when the first episode of the new season is going to be released yet, but it'll be pretty soon, and that's going to be a cool thing because, you know, this one will probably be out around Halloween or a little bit after, I'm thinking.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's get some spooky themed things.
Do you want spooky? I mean, this could be after.
I don't know.
Do you like spooky stuff?
Not totally.
Yeah, like, I mean, I feel like I've talked to you about horror movies.
I don't like horror movies, but I like Halloween. So, you know, I like a lower level spooky.
So you're like,
I'm like a trick or treat level spooky. Spookier than that, I'm like, no.
Yeah, you're like, bleep.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like, for me, I'm good with all levels of horror.
That's crazy.
Except for, like, really weird horror. Like, I remember when I first saw that movie Cube. Have you heard of that movie Cube?
No.
Well, it's this Canadian horror, like, thriller horror, like, sci-fi horror thing. And the first kill of the movie, it's this guy walking around this cube. Like, basically, the whole thing is, like, booby trap. Like, this is a giant cube thing. And this dangerous maze. This guy's walking. He stops walking. Camera pans a couple different directions. And you realize he got, like, cut by this weird cheese grater type situation. Like, very thin wires. And you see his body, like, just turn into, like, cubes.
I'm making a grossed out face podcast.
Not really.
I was in my mind.
Oh, okay.
I was like...
Yeah, in your mind. It was...
It was on my face, too. You just
no, it really was. It was kind of like, oh, that's interesting.
No, it was like a...
I mean, it's funny though. Like, great thing about like the people, like people's scared face and people's oh, that's interesting face.
Wait, I want to say something. Sorry.
Yeah.
I want to say something about horror movies, which is that I met one other person who does this, but I don't watch horror movies. But I will Wikipedia the plots of them and like be scared, but like I won't watch the movie and I'll watch the trailer, Wikipedia the plot, and then like more than Wikipediaing the plot, sometimes I will go on like forums about like, so I'm like obsessed with them, but I can't bring myself to watch them because I'm like too scared.
Okay.
So I'm like, because like, you know the movie Good Night Mommy?
Saw it opening night.
You saw it?
Yeah.
Okay. Like the trailer with the cockroaches?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I saw
that. I mean, I can tell you what happened.
I know what happened because I was literally...
Oh, hello?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry. Anyway, I know what happens because I was literally on this, like, forum. I saw the trailer and then I
Googled it. Well, the trailer, it all happened, just not in that way.
Then I Googled it and I found, like, not as much information as I wanted. Then I found, like, this really niche, like, weird like chat room where people were talking about like the minutia of the plot and read the entire thing, and like I don't even watch horror movies and I know everything, every single plot detail about
what's
that
even
movie.
Funnier is like that scene you just cited happens like fully in the movie, but like because there's a cut in the trailer and those scenes happen, like the cockroach in her mouth and her chewing are like 20 minutes apart in the movie.
Oh yeah, that's so weird.
And it's like because I actually even watched a trailer before I saw it. Cause I don't like trailers.
Yeah.
They annoy me. They like they literally give away everything.
They're like, and they're also, they can be like deceptive, you know, like.
Which Goodnight Mommy, like I said, it all happens. It's just, it makes you think something very different.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that movie a lot. Yeah.
Cool.
And also I also enjoyed the new M. Night Shyamalan film.
What is that?
The Visit.
Oh. I don't think I've heard
it's
of it.
About these kids who had never really met their grandparents before. And because, like, there was a bad history with their mom and their grandparents. And, like, because their mom had them when they were really young. And basically, like, the parents were like, no, we don't want you around. Like she's like, oh, I'm leaving. So the kids are now, like, 15 and, like, 17 or whatever. And, like, the girls are obsessed with filmmaking. So it's, like, of course... found footage style film, which is stupid to begin with, because it doesn't work for most movies.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't matter. But so they go to visit the grandparents, and like the grandparents are weird at night. That's the easiest way to put it without ruining anything.
So we're not ruining the plot of this movie. So we're just giving like a.
I don't want to ruin. I mean, no. I mean, like Goodnight Mommy will be.
Watch the movies, podcast people. You have to now watch them or go on a forum that will tell you what happens. One of the two.
But were you shocked by the twist in Goodnight Mommy?
I was shocked.
Yeah, it's a good twist. It's a good
twist.
It was
like, I should have seen it coming.
Well, you didn't see
the
movie.
No, but like, from the trailer, I should have understood that there would be a twist. Like, obviously, if it's a movie like that, there's going to be a twist. And that's like the most obvious one, but it's obvious, but at the same time, like, totally shocking. Guess what it is.
See, from the trailer, you don't catch the twist. Because like,
you don't catch it, but you should be able to catch
the movie,
that they've put one in.
In the movie, all I'm going to say is I caught it shockingly earlier, but I did not ruin my enjoyment of the film.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Because movies, it's all about the journey for me, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like our friendship's been like a weird journey. Because like, for a long time, it was... I see you for like a month and then you disappear. Because you were in college.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did the opposite of what normal people do, which is that I went to college outside of the city but grew up here. So I was always like, I'm in college. But I was only ever here on summer breaks.
Yeah.
And then I would go back. Whereas like most people who are in college go to like NYU and then they go home on summer breaks. So I had like a weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Like. Yeah, so you're from Brooklyn.
I'm from Brooklyn.
You're from Prospect.
No.
Not Prospect. Oh, my
Brooklyn
God.
Heights.
Brooklyn Heights.
Yeah.
I'm so exhausted. I almost said Prospect Heights. Yep.
Eh.
But the original nice neighborhood.
The original. Yep.
Yeah. So, like, what's it like growing up in Brooklyn?
It was fun. Brooklyn, like, people always make fun of it. And they're like, oh, you grew up in Brooklyn, like... so hipster, but like it's not that hipster, it's just
like where you live, it's like really really just nice.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like, and it feels like better than Manhattan because like like it's like
the phrase better than Manhattan. Okay.
No, but like I feel like it still felt like Brooklyn to me because people like wear Birkenstocks and like are like slightly more Brooklyn-y than people from Manhattan, but
okay.
Also like where I grew up was like the most bougie, so
right.
Yeah. And I went to, like, hippy-dippy school.
What school is that?
St. Anne's School.
Yeah.
in Brooklyn Heights, where we didn't get grades.
What did you guys get?
We got written reports.
Wait, what? Oh, wait.
You didn't know this?
No, I didn't know this.
Okay. Griffin Newman went to my school, too, right, which you did know. And so, like, we didn't get grades, because my school was not about grades, so we'd get, like, smiley faces and stuff, like, this was real.
Or, like, so instead of, like, it'd be, like, a smiley face, like, for, like, a good grade, like, just a face where it's, like,
reaction. Not even, like, about, like, giving great, like, if it was, like, a smiley face, it would be, like, everyone got a smiley face, or, like, if you didn't do well, like, you wouldn't get one, maybe, but there wasn't even, like, a graded system, it was just, like, but you get written reports. So you get like a page long report. A page long report from your teacher it's like twice a year, like every semester. So like if I'm in like my math class, I wouldn't get grades on my math homework, but my math teacher would have to write for my parents a page long report on how I was doing in school. So like Lily always comes to class on time and she is very creative and she does all of her work and like whatever. Like they have to make a page about you and who you are as a person. Because it's more like, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was definitely like...
Like, because I had a very... I went to Jewish day school for the first 7 years of my life. And that was something that
happened. Oh, yeah. St. Anne's is very... Like, a lot of Jews, and it's not a Catholic school. People think it's a Catholic school.
Well, I mean, it's in St. Anne's.
But it was never a Catholic school.
Is it near St. Anne's Warehouse?
Well, they're not even affiliated with each other, although they are near each other. It's near St. Anne's Church, and it was founded in the basement of the church by, like, this old...
How many things in your neighborhood area are, like, named St. Anne's?
I think the school, the church, the theater's the warehouse.
The theater's a little bit far away, but... I mean, is all three of them in Dumbo?
No, my school and the church are in Brooklyn Heights.
Which is next to it, neighborhood.
Yeah, they're really close.
I mean, it's, like, because Dumbo's a very small neighborhood.
Yeah.
Like, Dumbo is just Brooklyn Heights, just north.
Yeah.
Yeah. I find Dumbo so fascinating.
I know.
Like, I've been to St. Anne's Warehouse once, actually, my entire life.
Okay.
And it was during, like when it was, like, icy this past.
I just remembered what I saw there. What'd you say? Came back to me. I would have forgotten about this. I saw this, like, wrestling play, I think. Have you heard of this? Now I don't know if I'm, like, making it up. No, I don't. I remember I went as, like, a class trip, and we saw this play where they were, like, boxing or wrestling or something. I don't know. That's the one thing I saw there.
I saw the Scottish by English language adaptation of Let the Right One In.
Oh, cool.
Another horror film that I love that you probably have read the synopsis
of. Yeah, I know what it's about.
It's a great book, though. I also recommend the book.
Oh, cool, yeah.
But because, like, this, if not mistaken, is more based on the book than it was the movie.
Okay.
And the movie is still pretty based on the book, because the book's really good. Although, neither book or play go into the girl's backstory too much. I just realized how wet my pants are.
It's raining outside. He didn't pee himself.
No, I peed myself while it was raining.
Oh, okay. Well, you can't tell because it's raining.
But Lily knows.
I know.
So does the whole internet.
Yep.
And thank you, UK, for knowing that. Yeah, it's like, what's it like going to, like, was the school, like, considered, like, a Catholic school, or?
No, it was, it was founded in the basement of this church because they needed, like, space.
Okay.
Basically, to build their, like, weird hippie school. But it was, like, founded by, like, Jews, basically. It's not a Jewish school at all, either. It's totally secular. It's not, like, just in New York City, so obviously there's that.
Yeah.
So it started in a church, and it was, like, really small. And then it expanded, and there were 13 floors in my school.
Oh, my God.
And we would have to walk up. Yeah, so, like, now I'm working in the school that has 3 floors, and people are always like, ugh, I'm getting so much exercise.
Oh, no, like, the most I've ever had, like, for most of my schooling was, like, 2 floors.
I know. It's because
well, also, I'm from Florida. Yeah. So, like, I mean, I think all my schools were, like, 2-floored, except, no, all of them were 2-floored. Until I went to college, not even, like, my first college at UF is, like, where it was, like, 6 floors at once.
No, we would, like, regularly have to walk up to, like, 13 or 12, unless we had, like, a cello, and I never did. I played flute, so.
So, like, of course.
I always had to walk.
Well, also, was it kind of, like, a game of death or something, like the Bruce Lee movie, where every floor is a different, like, grade or something like that, but not.
No, well, like. It was, I wish every floor was different.
That'd be fine, like, first floor.
Because then you wouldn't have to walk. It was, like, totally mixed. It was like, and it was usually like we had assembly on the 12th floor
okay.
for like middle school. And so if you were like in middle school and then your class before assembly like would be like in the basement, you just have to walk 12 floors like every day. And every
was there no elevator?
That. Like there was, okay, so there was, but they like rarely would let you use it. Because they didn't want everyone like waiting for and being late to class.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, that makes a lot. I mean, is it a big school or
80 per grade?
That's so small.
But it was K through
12. Yeah. So in theory, it really could have actually been K super
small. Yeah.
It's like, what floor are you in this year? Oh, I'm on floor 10. Oh, so you're actually now a junior. Yeah.
That would have been smarter. That would have been a smart way to do it.
Oh, whatever. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's just like a funny concept, in my personal opinion. Yeah, I like. It's just so funny. It's like your neighborhood's so weird in that regard. Like,
yeah.
Like the, I go to your neighborhood a lot because I like to go to that horrible, horrible movie theater by you.
Don't say that.
It's not okay. The theater's got a lot of potential.
The Court Street.
The Court Street movie theater. It's 13 floors.
Is it?
I guess it is. It's 12 counting the basement.
Yeah.
And there's not a movie on every floor or a screen on every
yeah,
floor.
Yeah, no, yeah, that is actually dumb. I never thought about the layout of that theater before.
I mean, it makes sense, but like...
There's like a Barnes & Noble's trying to like jut into it, you know?
Well, they're built together.
Yeah,
I'm
so it like makes sense that they don't have any space.
Yeah, but like it's like just like I find it so unnecessary to offer a movie theater in the city more than 6 floors.
Are most movie theaters not that tall? That's
actually,
my movie theater, so I never thought about that.
Well, it's weird. Like, when you think about it, like, I know that the Empire in Times Square is really tall.
Yeah.
And, like, the rest are, like, maybe tops, like, 4 floors. And they're, like, the AMC on, like, 12th by, like, 3rd or whatever is pretty tall, but it's, like, 6 floors also. But, like, yeah, I mean, it doesn't make sense for a movie theater in Brooklyn to be 13 floors to me.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's a cool theater, but, like, it's just annoying, like, if you're, like, running late to a movie and, like, it's,
yeah,
like,
and you gotta go
on, like,
the 4, escalator.
8, you have to take the escalator because the elevator is really slow,
yeah.
So.
Anyway,
but
Brooklyn Heights.
Brooklyn Heights?
Brooklyn Heights.
Hey, I
me
went...
Me and Eddie DeGruy.
Yeah.
We bonded over the fact that we're both from, like, the bougiest neighborhoods of the outer boroughs. Because he's from, like, Riverdale.
Right, yeah.
And I'm from Brooklyn Heights. And we were talking about, I was like, yeah, I'm like, oh, I say I'm from Brooklyn. And, like, everyone in my neighborhood thought they were, like, so gangster, but they were actually, like, super wealthy. And we did, like, an improv scene about, like prison. What's that thing where you, like, you scared straight?
Oh, scared straight, yeah.
Where we were, I was like, yeah, I'm from Brooklyn Heights. You don't want to end up like me, like... I didn't even get into Tufts, which is where my dad went, so I had to go to UVM, which is my safety school. You don't want to end up like me, bro. And it was like, we just kept throwing around, like, bougie New York tropes.
Yeah.
And it was a really fun scene.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. And plus, like, I mean, like, you've, like, also had a very fun, like, artistic life in New York, too.
Yeah.
Like, because you said, like, you always used to see, like, every show.
I went to Just ASCAT for, like...
Well, I'm not even talking about, like,
I'm talking about
theater.
I thought you meant theater.
Because you told me that you used to see, like, a lot of theater and stuff. Like,
did I? Maybe I did. I probably did, like, compared to most people.
Okay.
Like, I think, yeah. Like, I probably have, like, I've seen on Broadway, I've seen, like, Avenue Q and Wicked and, like,
I love how you, like, mentioned the shows. They're, like, the biggest shows of the year when I was a senior in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw them when I was, like, in middle school, probably.
Yeah.
And then I feel like, yeah, I feel like with, like, my school being really artsy, we used to, like, go on field trips to see, like, plays and stuff. So,
that
I don't
makes
know.
Sense.
I feel like I probably have.
Yeah, been. I mean, your old teacher told me that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's such a weird, that's a weird thing to say. That's such a weird phrase.
Yeah, Dove is friends with my theater teacher from high school.
Me and Marcus.
Dove is friends with Mark.
Yeah.
And Dove is my theater teacher.
Yeah, Dove was in one of the plays, which is one of the reasons why this show went on hiatus for 5 months. If you want more information on that, listen back to the first episode of season 3, why the show
went on. Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, it's really weird, though. Like, I literally just was getting things, when I was starting getting things ready for season 3.
Mm-hmm.
I was, like, looking at things online, and I decided to look at Podomatic. I see that we had, like, insane numbers, and, like, for the last 5 months. Like, we literally were doing better, in theory, with no new content the Enemy War with new content.
Your podcast is great because it offers so much information on, like, really, really cool people that, like, I mean, that's what a podcast is, I guess. But I feel like sometimes I'm like, I want to know more about, like, this improviser who's really, really cool. I'll just get Mark's episode of the podcast that person is on and listen to it, and now I know their whole life story.
Well, I mean, it's not just about, like, improvisers. It's, like, about, like, people I find interesting. Like, I mean...
Yeah, but for me, the reason I listen is for improvisers.
Oh, okay. Well, it's good for you because, I mean, most of the guests are improvisers. Mm-hmm. And of the first few that have been booked for the season, all are improvisers.
Yeah.
And just trying to get more actors on here too, and like more musicians. I like musicians a lot. Like,
yeah,
just trying to get more people. I only want people I find interesting to talk to. Like, because if I'm being in a room with you for around an hour, and talking about things, it's got to be something I'm interested in, cool. Or a person I find interesting. And Lily, you're someone I find interesting.
Thank you very much,
baby. I find you very interesting too. That sounds like so awkward. We're both like, I find you interesting. Awkward pause. So, when did you start getting into improv?
Okay, so I like to tell this story. So I was in 8th grade, and my little sister was in 6th grade, and it was, like, I think it was, like, around my birthday, and my parents, like, found out about ASCAT. Uh-huh. I don't know how, like, they read an article about it, I don't know. And they were like, oh, there's this really cool show. And I was, like, already, obviously, obsessed with comedy, obsessed with Saturday Night Live. Like, yeah. I wrote my 8th grade term paper about women on Saturday Night Live. So I was already, like, in deep. And then my parents found out, like, oh, Amy Poehler does this show. And I think it was only $5 at that time for the 7:30. And they were like, Amy Poehler does this show every Sunday. And it's, like, improv. And we'd never seen improv. And it was just like, and we should probably, like, take Lily because she'd freak out. So I went, they wanted to go too. Like, right, they all wanted to go, but I think it was for my birthday. And, my sister was in 6th grade and I was in 8th grade and we
sat on
the floor.
Your sister also?
Yeah. We were so young and we sat on the floor at 7:30 ASCAT.
Okay.
And Amy Poehler was there and she comes out and she, like, introduced the show, and I was, like, freaking out. And I actually always sit on the floor. Like, people know. Like, I always will sit on the floor instead of a seat.
Yeah.
Because, like, I remember that, and I just, like, remember, like, being close to, like, Amy Poehler, but also just everybody. It's better to be closer.
It's a weird feeling. I like sitting on the floor sometimes at the theater.
And, like, so she's right there. She's introducing a show. She's, like, my idol, and I'm just, like, freaking out. And then, she was, like, warming up the audience, and she was like, oh, like, did anyone do anything fun this weekend? And this one guy in the audience was like, yeah, I went to prom. And then she was like, what song did you listen to at prom? And he was like, Umbrella by Rihanna. So she has the guy in the booth cue up the song Umbrella. And then for, like, maybe not the whole song, but for, like, a long time, she just starts doing this crazy dance to Rihanna, like a very Amy Poehler, like, crazy dance.
That's hilarious.
And she owned it. And I was like, freaking out, and literally, and so they kept incorporating it back into the show. And this was like the first improv show I'd seen. I didn't know about callbacks, so I was like, they're doing the Umbrella again, like, it's so funny. And like to this day, I literally was like in a store, and the song Umbrella came on, and I get emotional, like, I feel like I'm gonna cry, like, because I just, like, I don't know, I love it, it was so much fun. And then I would go to ASCAT all the time after that, and I didn't go to any of the shows, and I would always take my friends and my family, and like...
Yeah, you're always at ASCAT, like, you're like, Sunday nights is
ASCAT. Sunday nights, it's the best show, it's the best improv show.
It's a great show, it's, I mean, I enjoy, I just never have time Sunday nights, because...
Yeah.
Especially my current job is like, we need you Sundays, if you're available.
Yeah.
And I need money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel you. I hate that, because now I'm working, too, instead of just being, like, a person with an internship.
Yeah, I mean, how does it feel? How does it feel,
and
like,
it
now
just feels... I wish I had more time. Like, I want to do way more, like... Sorry to talk about improv so much. Like, I'm sorry, we should talk about art and music. But, I want to do more improv. And, like, I'm doing a lot, but I'm just, like, always tired. And I still jam on Mondays, and then I wake up at 5:50 the next day.
Is that what time you have to wake up every day?
Yeah.
Then I feel terrible about booking you in.
No. It's a weekend, and it's a 3-day weekend, so I don't have to...
What?
I don't have to wake up tomorrow morning.
No, I meant, on Wednesday, I felt bad about... And I feel bad about booking you at 10:30.
That's why I was falling asleep during your set. Did you see me?
No, I didn't.
So bad. Sorry, now the whole world knows.
It's fine.
I felt so bad. I mean, it was great. They did Kiss Prov. just kissing each other and like.
Shockingly, a lot less than the first time Kiss Improv was actually chosen.
Well, there were two of you, so.
The way we play improv, we let scenes linger uncomfortable for a long time.
It was great, but like honestly, I was running on so little sleep, and I was just sitting there like with my eyes closing, feeling like I'm a terrible person. I should be paying more attention. But it's fun. But yeah, that was. I really wanted to do that show, so that's the reason I said yes.
If you or Eddie messaged me first.
Yeah, we both were like really excited about it. You messaged both of us, maybe, and I messaged my group, and Eddie like immediately was like yes, and everybody else was like yes, and we were like okay yes, like everyone was like so on board, so it was fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, you guys were a great team, and I'm really excited to see you guys again on the 28th. We actually have officially booked the whole show, which I'm very excited about.
What day of the week is that?
That's also Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, what is that? That's Forms from the Bucket.
No, it's Improv Bingo.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about that because we have all the teams announced, and you know what? Even though in our timeline, like that we're currently living in, this show hasn't happened yet, but. In the timeline for the audience that's listening to this, it probably has happened.
I don't know.
I don't know yet. But the lineup is or was amazing.
Go. If it's already happened, just wait until next year and go to the Almost Halloween Improv Bingo night. Like,
what? I'm going to book the same exact teams.
No, but I'm just saying, what if they feel too sad because they missed it and they need like a consolation?
Well, I can describe how those teams play.
Okay.
All right. So Mero is doing it again, which I'm very excited because Mero is a very fun team. It'll also be half that team's second appearance in Improv Bingo.
Cool.
Because
Eddie
guys,
and Dave.
Yeah. Well, Eddie and was
or
Dave.
Nicole.
You did Improv Bingo, right?
I didn't.
Oh no, never mind. You weren't. I thought you did Improv Bingo before.
I did Forms from the Bucket before.
Okay. So it's Eddie's second time doing Improv Bingo. Also, Owl Theory is doing the show, which I'm very excited about. They're a very fun team. Rachel Hainsler, Eva McElroy, Patrick Keane, a bunch of very fun people.
Cool.
And the team that I coach, Prisoner, is doing it also.
Cool.
Which I'm very excited about. They're a bunch of fucking crazy
Who's
people.
Who's on that team?
I'll list everyone. Joe Pardavilla, Colin Gossel, Patrick Mahaney, Becky Brooks, Tierra Francis, Anthony Hargraves.
Oh, love. Is that the Supernova team?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did I say Patrick Mahaney?
Yeah.
Dan Titmus. Who else am I forgetting? Oh, and Kate Chambers.
Cool.
I believe
I'm excited
I got everyone.
Because
they're all
love
really
Anthony.
Yeah.
We're fellow jam heads. So.
Which is a funny thing to say because I don't think I had any jams.
He considers himself a jam head because he created the Jamland.
That doesn't mean anything.
He very much self-identifies as.
Okay, fine.
Also, if you're listening, I know that you go to a lot of jams.
I don't see him at any jams.
I really haven't seen him lately, but that's how I know him. That is how I know him. Because he used to go to the nursery.
I'm not even sure exactly how I met him.
Yeah.
I just know that I met him around the time he drank JD's piss.
Did that really happen?
That really happened at We're Not a Cult. The show, it was like a midnight show, and there was a lot of weird liquids in this thing, and including
Now I'm making gross up face.
Yeah, you actually are making it very clear.
That's the face I thought I was making before.
No, you were making kind of like a. Let me. This is for you and not for the listeners. It was kind of like a.
Okay, I felt like it was.
It read like intrigue.
Okay. Anyway.
But, yeah, so he, easiest way to put it is, long story short, he drank some of JD's piss.
By accident?
JD tried to warn him, and he actually did warn him, and Anthony still did it.
Wait, Anthony Hargraves, who doesn't drink alcohol, drank JD's piss, which means that he knew it was piss.
We're talking a lot about this,
More than we should. Let's not put this on, because maybe it would embarrass
him. I mean, honestly, if he wants, he can be on the podcast and defend himself.
He can defend himself.
Anthony, I don't hate you. You know that.
I have to ask him what like his side of the story is because I'm so confused.
It's pretty much like almost what I said, but a little bit more. Hey, I didn't know. Even though like he thinks he didn't know.
What
but,
do you think it was apple juice?
Like literally, this is what JD said. I will never forget this because you don't forget weird things like this. Some things on the stage are fake, and some things are realer than others. And then he like squeaked like the bag, like he like squeezed the bag a little bit. That like he's like, "Are you sure you want to do this?" And then he did.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he'll be performing.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, this is your episode. Okay. So you started taking improv probably like well as soon as you could.
No. I went to ASCAT all the time, all through high school. I took my friends, I took my parents. I knew of all the performers. I was so into it. But, like, I didn't think I could, like, do improv because I was, like, a really bad actor. And I would always try out for the school plays and not get in. Or, like, I got into Dove's play because everyone got in. Like, that's how I knew Dove. But, like, I got into the ones that everyone got into, but always, like, a small part. And I always thought, like, I can't be on stage. Like, I'm not a, like, stagey person. But I love to watch it. And then I think at some point, like, so I wasn't taking classes for a long time just because it didn't even, like, cross my mind.
Yeah.
It's kind of just like, well, I like to go to the show. And then my first class, I took 101 the summer after my senior year of high school.
So that was, like...
2011.
So it's so funny how, like, generationally speaking, you're so close to my generation.
I know.
In theory, you're in the generation that I ended up in just because it took me so long to get through 401.
Yeah. I took 101 with Lily Du, fun fact.
She was in my last 401.
Oh, crazy.
And in several classes with me after.
Yeah. Like, so it's weird. Well,
I saw her today
coach.
At the Hamilton line.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Yeah, she's my coach now, and I'm just like, we were in 101 together. And she had just graduated college, and I had just graduated high school. And
yeah.
I was like, yeah.
Okay. And who was your teacher?
I've had the best teachers, like, ever. I had Gavin Spieler and Kevin Hines.
For 101?
For 101 intensive. They were both amazing. Gavin, I was, like, a fan of already because of ASCAT.
Yeah,
Kevin, I never heard of, but he was great. And now knowing, like, he's legendary.
And both of them are previous guests of the podcast.
Wow.
One of them was a disaster, like, literally was because of Hurricane Sandy.
Which one?
Well, that was Kevin Hines because he lived in Astoria at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them, if not mistaken, was episode 150, which is Gavin Spieler.
Okay. Yeah. I think I listened to that one. And oh, but like what I remember about Gavin in 101 is that he couldn't give suggestions that weren't food. And I told someone this, and they thought it was like a bit. They were like, he was doing that on purpose. And I'm like, because I'm the kind of person who only thinks
food, too.
So I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure. Because he didn't realize it. He'd be like... Okay, your suggestion is, like, blueberry. Like, your suggestion is, like, pancakes. And it was always food. And then he was like, I think I can only give suggestions on food. Like, can someone else give
suggestions? Which is so weird, because, like, I've had him for, like, three or four classes now.
And he never gives food suggestions.
I don't know.
Maybe he became aware of himself.
Maybe. I mean, I didn't have him until I was in advanced study.
He's so cool.
He was my third advanced study teacher, because I had Delaney, then I had Chelsea. And then I had him as, like, it was, like, so weird because he's, like, the midpoint between Chelsea and Delaney.
Yeah, or he's kind of, I don't know, because I feel he like very, he and Chelsea are kind of similar.
Yeah.
They're, like, silly giggliness. Like,
yeah, well, they're both very fun teachers that give very good notes.
Oh,
very
like,
easy.
As teachers.
I'm sorry, like, digest. Okay. Yeah, like, because, like, I mean, Delaney's an amazing teacher. They're all amazing teachers. Mm-hmm. Delaney is a very different teacher than Chelsea Clark.
Yeah.
And
the UCB Basics workshop at DCM last year, and it was like $50 or whatever, just because I wanted to take a workshop with Chelsea Clark because I never had her.
Oh yeah,
and it was fun. Like, but it was just like it was UCB Basics, which was the SAM. But I was like, Chelsea Clark, yep, taking it.
Yeah, yeah. Chelsea is one of my absolute heroes.
Love
I'm actually very excited because in our timeline, I will be at Improv Nerds this week for the first time in like 3 weeks.
Because it's Columbus Day.
Well, I also went Kaleidoscope this week. I'm captaining a team that
Wait, you're in it?
I'm captaining Kaleidoscope, yeah.
Wait, no, but are you in Improv? You'll be at Improv.
Yeah, I'll be at Nerds.
Because they always have, like, random guests to host the jam.
They never have asked. I mean, I would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I would do it in a heartbeat, too.
But, I'm going to, I'm going straight from Kaleidoscope to there.
Cool.
I'm very, very excited because my team is unbelievably good. Mostly previous guests of the podcast.
What? I still don't fully understand what Kaleidoscope is. I think I get confused with Supernova a lot.
Kaleidoscope is very similar in theory to ASCAT.
Oh, okay.
It's the same form. It's in Armando. And, but there's three different teams.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it works is there's three different captains. And there's a monologist. The captains choose like 8 people to be on their team. And the monologist gets a topic and starts talking and... It's a great show. I've done it on every form. Like, I mean, I was a monologist once. which was really fun hearing people do improv based off of my life.
I know. I love that. I love doing monologues.
I've captained teams now, I think, twice. And I've been on, like, I've been asked, like, 3 or 4 times on teams.
I should go. Now that I know what it is.
It's a really, really good lineup that I have this week. I don't want to say it on here just in case it doesn't happen as good as this, but there's a lot of, like, big people on it.
Cool.
Including the first guest of the season.
Oh, I know who that is.
Yeah, I told you that.
And you know, too, because you already listened to that.
But episode. I still don't want to say it just in case.
Yeah.
Like, something bad happens.
And if the first guest turns out to be a different person who doesn't at all make sense to be on that Supernova team, then you'll just be confused.
Yeah. I mean, if it's just, like, a person that's, like, for some reason, like, I meet Mark Rylance, amazing actor, and he, amazing Tony winning actor, and, you know, he doesn't do improv, but he does really great Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Then, you know, he was on my Kaleidoscope team.
Cool. Yeah.
So, like, how quick did you get the hardcore bug for, like, performing?
Oh, okay. I think that it was, like, really jamming first, honestly, before performing. Because I always have had the instinct that I want to jump up on stage and make a move. So, like, even when I'm watching ASCAP, I'll be like, and I know I'm not as funny as them, but I'll be like, I know what I would do in this scene. I just want to get up and do it. And I never really had, like, opportunities to perform because I didn't know about, like, indie teams and stuff. I don't know. I was,
right, like, I mean, like, you were very fringy until you were able to move into back to
So I was kind of just like, well, I wouldn't say very fringy. I have a lot of friends. I was in it when I was in it. Like, I did a practice group last summer.
I didn't mean, like, in a bad way.
And,
like,
yeah, okay.
I'm just saying that, like, you were fringy, because, like...
Whatever. I mean, no, I was around for an entire fall, and I took a semester off, and that's how I met Eddie DeGruy, and I would jam all the time. I don't know.
Everyone meets Eddie DeGruy.
Yeah, it was good.
Everyone meets Eddie DeGruy.
Oh, yeah. So I always wanted to, like, get up on stage, but, like, didn't realize that it was, like, a thing. Like, I was taking classes. Like, I had taken 101, but I was kind of, like, I don't know. I didn't really do anything after that.
Okay.
And then I took 201 the next summer with Brandon Gardner, which was an amazing class.
Amazing teacher.
Obviously.
I did not have him advanced study either.
Oh, you had him for advanced?
No. I was in the improvised play that he taught.
I'm so jealous of you and all these advanced study classes. I can't get into one.
I can't get into one either, so.
It's crazy. But, like... Okay, so I had Brandon, and he hosted the Nerds Jam at that time, which was on Sundays.
He still does host it.
No, I mean, like,
but
he still hosts it, like that Mitch.
But there
Hedberg
was a big
joke.
Difference back
He
then.
Used to host the Nerd Jam. He still hosts it, but he used to host it, too. You know that joke?
Yeah.
That's what I was basically saying. So he
you
was
said, You
hosting.
Basically said the Mitch Hedberg joke.
Yes, I said that I was going to say the Mitch Hedberg joke.
You didn't say that, did you?
I said, it's like that Mitch Hedberg joke.
I didn't hear that. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Falling apart.
I
used to do drugs. I still do, but I used to do drugs.
Yeah, that's like what I... Anyway, Brandon...
I don't do drugs. I should let people know that.
My
parents can listen to this and they're like, what?
Yeah, I don't do drugs. Brandon, when I was taking class with him, was hosting, and still is, the Improv Nerds Jam, which was on Sundays at that time.
Yeah.
And I was taking his class, and he kind of mentioned that we should come out, and it was right after the Beast opened. And so I didn't know about jams before that. And I was wait. Like,
what?
I can go to this show and I can get up on stage as part of the show. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, maybe I wouldn't say that to him, but it was just like, oh my God, this sounds like the perfect thing.
I just imagine you actually
said
that to him.
But I was just like, wait, I didn't know that improv jams were a thing. And then I started going all the time. But it was kind of like, it was right before I went back to college, so, like, I technically started going that summer, but, like, I didn't go that much because I was, like, it was only for, like, a month that I would go.
Okay.
And then I used to go, like, honestly, that year I would go to the Nerds Jam, like, every time I had a break. Like, it wasn't that much.
I mean,
much,
Nerds
but, like,
is always going to be the best jam, my
personal. Yeah, I love it. And it was just, like, the one that I went to because I knew Brandon and...
And Steve and Phil are, like, the most approachable people in the world.
Miss Phil.
Rest
I
in peace.
I could tell a story about how...
I still can't believe that my joke of saying Phil's dead has caught on to such a strong level.
Okay, wait. I'm going to tell the story about how I embarrassingly... Like, the story of how Phil left New York, which is that It was like
he literally got like hired for
Key and Peele. But my perspective, like he got hired for Key and Peele. Yeah. He's Phil. You're doing great with your life, but I was very upset. So, it was the fall that I took off, so I was home. And I was going to the Nerd Jam every Monday.
Oh, I do remember this.
You remember this.
Yeah.
And, I don't know why. I think it was, like, in a bad mood that night or something.
Well, yeah, I remember this.
Yeah. So, okay. So, like, during the jam, I got there late, so I didn't know that Phil was moving. And I walked in, like, a little bit late. There was very little.
Like, it was, like, 5 days.
Yeah. No one really knew, but, like, I know that they announced it at the beginning of the show, but I just wasn't there for the beginning. So we get there. I happened to be in the last jam, and it was kind of a beautiful jam because Phil was there, and we all were singing.
That was my suggestion of Smash Mouth.
Told me. Yeah, so it was, like, a really good final jam with Phil. But then, I don't know why I decided, like, I usually hang out at the bar after, but I think I was feeling, like, sad about, I don't even know. And I was like, I'm not going to hang out at the bar after. I'm just going to go straight home. Get in a cab. Go straight home. Don't say bye to Phil, which I always say bye to Phil. Like, I didn't say bye to Steve. Like, I didn't say... Well, I just left. And then, as I'm in the cab home or whatever, I see Phil is moving to LA on Twitter, which I hadn't checked my Twitter, and I saw a tweet being like, last jam, like, Phil's moving to LA. Yeah. Like, and I was like, oh my God. And I was so sad. I got home. I couldn't sleep because I was so sad that Phil was leaving. I cried a lot.
Oh, boy.
I didn't go to sleep until at least 3 a.m. And I also, embarrassingly, like, sent him, like, a very, like, I think multiple, like, sappy Facebook messages being like, I'm gonna miss you, Phil, and I love you, and blah, blah. But, like, it was also, like, I was sad, yeah, and I was tired, and I was late, and whatever. But, like, then I woke up the next morning, I was like, what did I send to Phil?
Like, oh, God, like, it was, like, it probably came out, like, I'm in love with you.
Yeah, it was so weird, and it was, like, I was just, like, I think I overreacted, like, and he sent he sent me a really nice thing back, and it's one of those things where, like, I'm never going to Facebook chat Phil again, because that will just pop up, and so we can find other methods of communication if we ever have to.
See, for me, like, my fat Phil was moving, I found out, I think at the very beginning that he knew, because, like, for some weird reason, towards the end of his time in New York, I was always bumping into him, like, at the movies or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, bumping into him and his girlfriend at the time. I don't think they're still dating, so I'm not even going to say it.
Don't say it. I know
who. Yeah, it was really weird. He said, yeah, this guy is already keeping. I'm like, oh, Jesus, you're moving. No. Yeah. Because he's always been, like, a really good friend of mine, very supportive and very cool. And always has been and always will be. Like, even when I see him now at DCM, basically only because he's now successful in LA.
I'm, like, surprised he doesn't come back more. Like, he only comes back for DCM.
Well, he's busy.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, let him be busy.
I guess, like, the nerds is not, like, his primary priority. Like,
is he still on the website? I don't think he is.
No,
on.
They took him off the website.
And it was funny, like, seeing that fake version of the Matt Chapp art.
Yeah, Chat? I don't know if he didn't do that one. I thought he just copied, like,
it. I mean, it
looks like, because
Phil and Apruzzi kind of look slightly similar but different colors.
Yeah, I thought he just, like, took Phil out. I was pretty I was upset when I saw that, because it was just like, you can't just replace Phil like that. Like, you can't just put Anthony Apruzzi's head on this cartoon and make it okay.
Although Apruzzi's amazing.
I mean, he's great. But, like, I just felt like they should have gotten a different art thing.
I agree. I don't want to, like, I mean, all I'll say is just that my favorite movies of all time in Improv Nerds, when I used to watch the show weekly, because I don't have, like, Mondays are a really rough day for me, and I try catch Nerds when I can, but it's really rough, but my three favorite movies in Nerds are all Phil, well, two of them are Phil directly, one of them was Handling a Crazy Person. We've talked a lot about
Improv Nerds. Like in the jam?
No.
Oh.
A person walked up from, like, just walked into the theater and just start, like, at the very end of their set, like, at, like, 9:15 or whatever. And they just started seeing, like, the ABCs and, like, walked on stage. So it was, like, really
weird. Remember that dude who I thought was homeless, but I don't think he was, who used to jam all the time and just be, like, a huge hippie, like, old...
I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about.
Like, he never looked homeless to me.
The only reason I thought that he was is because I had this idea of what jams were, because I have this friend from LA.
Okay.
From college. who told me, like, don't go to jams. Because he was like, they're stupid, everyone's drunk, like, they're not fun, like, and you might not even get called. Because, like, I guess the jams he went to, like, not everyone got called.
But
and
people, so but everyone is drunk at the nerd jam.
Yeah, but it doesn't bother me, like, yeah, you know, but I don't know, he got me, like, scared, and people were like, yeah, like, a homeless person could just walk off the street and, like, come to the jam. And I was like, okay, I guess they could. And then he was there, and he's like, kind of just, like, dirty. And
yeah.
He
was an older hippie, dude. That's
he was, like, an older hippie. And
very
was, like,
nice to talk
very
about.
Very crazy, though, on stage. And, like, I was just like, this is the resident homeless guy who walks in off the street. Like, good for him.
Okay.
But yeah, he's not homeless.
So how does it feel to be back in New York now?
Feels great. Like every time I'm back, I feel like an adult. And when I'm at college, I feel like a child.
And now you have a real adult
and now
job.
I'm like really here. Yeah. Like I feel like even when I would come back for like the summers or whatever, the fall.
Yeah.
I like would feel like, I don't really feel different than that. I just know that it's like permanent.
Like it's weird. Like
I still live at home. Like,
I feel, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's weird, because, like, the way that you were is kind of like how, like, Serenoptalis is.
Yeah.
Like, you're part of the community, but, like, it's just, like, especially, like, the way you were, like, because you were, like, here for a summer and then gone. And then back on, like, the holidays.
I feel like I always just, like, my college life was definitely, like, it was my real life, but I always wanted to be back in New York. Like, whenever I was in college, I just, like, couldn't wait for breaks. I couldn't wait to be back in New York. Because I felt like that was, like, my real life.
And
like,
how's it feel now to be done with college?
It feels great. I'm not sad about it.
Yeah, like, I know you had some stuff happen.
Yeah, I mean, nothing, like, happened, but it's just, like, it was not, like, I wasn't that into college.
Yeah.
Griffin Newman stories, if anyone knows him. He dropped out of college and he went to my high school, but he's older than me. But he came back to be in my friend's movie for our film class.
Cool.
So that's how I knew him, because I would like do the whole boom and my friend was directing and Griffin was the main actor. And one time we were doing a shoot and I was just like hanging out with Griffin for like a long time, and he just gave me this talk about how college sucks. And I'll hate it, and he hated it, and how it's just terrible.
I remember you telling me this earlier on the Manhattan Bridge. Yeah. No, Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah, whatever. Like, after that, he got me really scared about college, because, like, everything he said, like, really resonated with me. Like, oh, yeah, it sounds like it sucks. And, like, being on a campus, like, being away from New York City, like, all of these things, I'm like, it sounds terrible. And I didn't hate college, but, like, I think I felt kind of how Griffin feels, except I didn't drop out.
See, for me, like, what college is, it prepared me for everything. Because I'm not from New York. I'm from Miami.
Yeah, yeah.
It got me prepared to be by myself. You know, like, my parents have always been a very, very positive, strong force in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful for that. And, like, yeah, it was a really good way for me to be away and be able to discover myself.
I feel like it was, like, being away, but it was, like, being at camp, kind of. Not, like, I'm making it sound like it was terrible, but, like, I went to camp for 6 years, and I was away from my parents, and then going to college, and you're on a campus, and all of the events are, like, scheduled, and everything is, like, I don't know, and it didn't, like, it just felt like you were at camp a lot of the time.
It's I understand just, like, that, yeah.
Like, and there's also, like, I don't know. Yeah.
Whatever, it's all good.
Yeah, it's all good.
Cool. And let's talk about Marrow just a little bit.
Marrow. I'm kind of new. Not new, but I started that in, like, June or
okay. That. Yeah, I remember you telling me about them being formed, yeah.
Yeah, well, they existed before I joined them.
Oh,
but then a lot of people left, so now there's kind of just four of us.
Four very nice
four
people.
Four and a half. It's just because, like, I've always, like, whenever I've done teams, like, last summer, like, summer 2014 was the first time I did, like, a team.
Yeah.
Because it was, like, a practice group that I found on the UCB message board. But then I quit that team because I was like, I have to go back to college. So I've never had anything, like, super permanent, which is why I guess I'm kind of fringe. And Marrow has been really fun. I love everybody on it.
Except for Eddie DeGruy.
Except for Eddie DeGruy. He sucks. And we've been doing some fun shows. Like, we have a form now, which is fun. Like, I feel like
we do the
deconstruction.
Oh, fun.
And, like, it's weird because, yeah, like, I like Risky Brisket a lot. Big fan. Shout out to Risky Brisket.
Flint used to do that all the time.
Who does?
Flint used to. My supernova team that became a real team.
Yeah.
One of the only ones.
Risky Brisket, though, like, they don't do a deconstruction. They do something, and I don't know what it's called. But, like, you can tell it's, like, a form, and it's, like, their form.
Yeah.
And, like, it's fun to go to their shows and be like, they're going to do that form. And, like, we just had a show. I mean, at your show's Forms in the Bucket, so we did, like, wacky stuff.
Well, you guys did Shrews Chair Prov.
Yeah.
Which is probably really fun for you because you're exhausted.
Yeah.
Chair Prov, literally every scene has to have everyone on stage has to be touching a chair.
Yep.
Not sitting.
Yeah. So we did a show on Sunday.
Yeah.
And, like, it's like, you know, you ever have, like, a really good show?
Never had a good show in my entire life.
Okay.
Even acting. No.
I'm joking.
Actually, both times you see me act, I've been very happy with those shows.
Yeah, you were great. Okay. Like,
I love both those shows.
The Clown was the best part of that.
Oh, The Fringe?
Yeah.
Thank you, I guess.
Well, I don't know. I felt like our show on Sunday, we, like, did our form, and we had been, like, drilling it really hard.
Yeah.
And we just, like, executed it so well, and it was so much fun. And I was just like, I feel like a real team now. Like, we, like, really nailed this, and, like, we know what we're doing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It was a lot of fun. So I feel like we're only going to get better and cooler.
Cool.
And, yeah. We're going to start performing a lot more.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. So, all right, getting ready to wrap up.
Yeah.
What's something about Lily Brown people might not know that you're okay sharing?
This is always a really hard question because I don't know. I feel like I'm...
Well, no one really knows
I feel like I share a lot of things. Yeah. You might not know anything about me.
After listening to you talk for the last 50 minutes.
You know nothing. You don't know me.
now I'm just thinking that Ben Folds and Sarah Bareilles song. Don't know me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I can't say anything.
Can I pause and then you cut out the pause? Like, I need to think.
I mean, you can think while we talk. I think it's interesting to hear you talk while you think.
Okay. Well, what's my life? What's happened?
It can be literally anything.
It can be anything.
It can be very personal.
Oh, well, this is a thing that, like, most people know about me, but you don't.
I mean, people in the UK probably don't know much about you.
Yeah.
Hopefully now 50 plus minutes into the episode they know a lot about you.
They kinda do. I did Occupy Dartmouth my freshman year of college.
That's cool.
Which you knew that, right?
No.
You didn't know that? That was my identity for a while because it was like
which makes sense because I know that you're pretty progressive.
Yeah, I'm like a crazy lefty, so, like,
I'm like a pretty progressive, like, no, I'm a crazy lefty.
Yeah, like,
you're like, Michael Moore, nothing on me.
Yeah. that was how I, like, made all my friends my freshman year, because I was, like, pretty jaded on college, like, I didn't get into the improv group, and it was, like, devastating. I didn't get in for 4 years, and I listened to a Natasha Vainblatt podcast where she talks about this happening to her, and I didn't, like, realize, like, I guess it's a common experience, but basically, like, at my school, if you try out for the improv group and you get a call back, then they don't tell you if you got in. They make you stay home that night. Like, you can't go out. You have to stay in your room.
Oh, it's like Mistress America. You've heard of this, right? It's like Mistress America.
Mistress America. That's exactly what happened to me. So it's like, you have to stay in your room, and, they will come in and haze you if you got in. And if you didn't get in, maybe at, like, 3 a.m. or, like, whatever, they'll send you an email being like, sorry, you didn't get in. And at that point, like, literally this happened to me, like, 4 years in a row. And I really, really wanted to be in the improv group. Like, I thought everybody was so cool, and I was so obsessed with ASCAT, and I'd taken 101 at UCB. And the girl from the improv group had also taken 101 with Kevin Hines. So I, like, bonded with her about it. I was like, what? We have the same teacher! Like, here thinking she's so cool because she, like, did 101 at UCB, whatever. And so I didn't get in. It was really sad. And I, like, had to stay up all night, and then I would get the email and just be like, I didn't even get to go out, and now I'm sad. And there's always a Friday night. And then I just, that was like when Occupy Wall Street was happening.
Yeah.
So I like was pretty sad and like and I didn't have that many friends like yet at college. And then I like there were these like random like jaded seniors like in this tent that they had set up as like part of the Occupy movement, and I kind of like sat down and talked to them, and I was like, this is cool. And then that kind of like became my life for like my first like semester or like quarter or whatever of
that's
college.
Awesome.
Yeah, like that's how I met like most of my friends, and like I would, we would just sit in the tent, and it was like we had a tent, we had like a real Occupy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It was like
you never really left. Except
yeah,
for
and like I mean I didn't live there, I didn't sleep there because I'm too much of a city kid, but I would hang out there, and like we.
Were there a lot of people that actually like, lived there?
It was the thing is it was so small. It was such a small like occupation. It was a 24-hour occupation, so it meant that like you couldn't like leave the tent alone. Someone always had to be there.
Yeah.
But there were like maybe like six of us that were like hardcore or like a little more than that. But
all right.
So it was kind of just like this weird like fringe group, and everybody kind of like hated us, and like that's why it was like part of my identity, because everyone's like, oh, you do Occupy, like, oh. So then I had to be like, yeah, I do. And like I think a lot of people were like afraid to join because they it was like people made fun of us a lot, so it was like, if you did it, and then you would sit at the tent, everyone would see you, and they'd be like, so, like, why are you doing Occupy, like, Dartmouth, like, eh. So, yeah.
Well, that's fun.
I did that, it was lots of fun, protesting.
Okay.
People would all, like, literally, up until recently, like, even, like, my friends from home, like, I'd come back from college, and they'd be like, oh, like, you still occupying? Like, you still in a tent? Like, I'm like, no, like, that happened. But
you ever,
like,
you ever, like, hopping over to, like, Occupy Union Square?
Did I ever go to,
like,
you mean Occupy Wall Street?
Yeah, but that's not Union Square, so.
Oh, I mean, 4 years later, it's like, I didn't even get to go to Occupy Wall Street, which I was really bummed about because I was at college, and then I came back for,
I was afraid. I've always been afraid.
I don't know, like, well, yeah, and then when we had Thanksgiving break, because we don't get a fall break, which is when it would have been, and then it had already been taken down, so I went during, like, after Thanksgiving, when it was just, like, a few lone crazy people, but it wasn't, like, a full-on thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't know
cool.
that he moved to Union Square, but I assume it's all, like, homeless people at this point.
Maybe.
That's my assumption.
I don't know. All right, getting ready to wrap up.
Getting ready to wrap up.
What's something you're looking forward to coming up that does not involve you?
That
like,
doesn't involve
like a
me.
Movie, a TV show, a play, a book.
Oh, I'm super excited about the TV show Adam Ruins Everything.
I've watched the first episode.
I watched the first two episodes, and the second one I had to watch sped up because like that's the only version I could find because they closed down ProjectFreeTV.com. And it is an amazing, amazing show. It's like my type of thing. Like I love facts
yeah.
and like all I don't know and like. I love
and
being
it's all,
cynical about
it's all
stuff.
From UCB people, too.
Yeah, it is all UCB people, too. And so...
I mean, I remember...
And I love
Adam
Conover.
Yeah.
Conover, whatever.
Yeah, I remember when I used to see him around, but I never really talked to him.
Yeah,
I think I talked to him, like, once.
He came to my school and did stand-up, and that was, like, honestly the first I'd heard of him. And then I was like, oh, he's really cool. And I talked to him a little bit, and I was like, I don't know. Yeah. But
cool.
That show is really, really good. If you can find it...
It's on True TV.
Yeah, but how are you going to watch it?
It's on True TV.
Find a sped up YouTube video. Who has True TV?
I do.
What is that? You have to watch it when it's on?
Well, I mean, like, Billy on the Streets is on there.
Yeah, but what do you do? Like no one... Like, you watch the TV show, like, at the time that it airs?
I have a DVR.
Oh, you DVR it. I don't have a DVR.
Okay.
Is that what people do now to watch shows?
I mean, that's what I do. I like why I like
that
my TV a lot.
That seems
so
much easier than going on all these pirate sites, which
well,
no
yeah.
longer exist.
I mean, also like Netflix,
yeah,
Hulu, all
it.
That stuff. Sorry, I'm like really not being on pirating. Ever since Metallica told me not to. That's
it's
a real thing.
It's not about like, I don't know. I guess...
I respect it.
I don't download stuff.
Okay.
I watch the videos that are on.
I'm not mad at you or anyone that does it. Don't get me wrong.
I don't know. I don't pirate. I just
okay.
like I just watch the things that have already been pirated.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right. Whatever.
Whatever. Maybe I do pirate. Maybe I have to confront it.
It's not a big deal. I'm not like coming down on you or anyone that pirates. All I'm saying is that this content's free. So. But if they want to donate money, they can go to our, you know, if they go to hitthemark.podomatic.com, they'll see a PayPal button there, can donate as much as they want.
Yeah.
But that doesn't matter, because they heard that earlier in the episode. Okay. What? How can people follow you on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram?
See, I'm not going to give away my Twitter. And this is why. Because my last name isn't on it. And everyone knows who I am. But, like the people who follow me are like, is this you? And I'm like, yes. My first name's on it. And the things that I tweet are, like, very, like, match up with my interests to the point that, like, if I follow you and you follow me back and you see what I'm tweeting, you'd be like, this is you, right? But I'm not going to say it because I'm going to remain an enigma.
What about, like, Instagram and stuff?
I don't have an Instagram. You can stalk me on Facebook. Friend me if you want. If I know you, I'll accept. I'm pretty funny on Facebook, so people have said that to me.
Okay.
I just made a status that got like 50 likes, NBD.
Nice. What was that status?
You want me to read it?
No, that's not a big deal.
It was it was about the fact that I like to gossip.
Okay.
Should I just say it?
I don't care.
I don't know. It was like, people always say that instead of gossiping, I should just say it to a person's face. What they don't understand is that gossiping is my favorite thing to do. And confronting people is my least favorite thing to do.
I remember the
stats. And everything in between, everything else I do is in between. And I got like 50 likes. So follow me on Facebook. But you can't follow me. You just have to friend me.
Well, you can follow, actually.
Oh.
It depends on what your settings are. I know you can follow. Yeah. Because I got like 18 people that follow me on Facebook that
I don't really understand what that is.
It's all fine to me.
And if you know me, ask someone what my Twitter is.
Okay.
Because I'm an enigma.
All right. My plugs at MarkLevy85 is the Twitter. And also the Instagram. I've been, according to people that are not me, I've been crushing it on Instagram.
Nice.
And my photos are weird and silly. And sometimes like just like nice because I'm the son of a photographer. This will be up before the Indiegogo ends for this. My play, All Is Fine in Sunny Florida, is going to be in the Frigid Festival in February through March. Woo. We need money because I'm a pretty poor actor, and trying to get this to an audience is not the cheapest thing in the world, but we're making it as cheap as we can. And the money that you donate will probably go straight to the actors if all goes well.
If all is fine.
Yeah. So, donate as much or as little as you want. It could be as little as a dollar or as much as $1,300, which is what we want. If you just go to Indiegogo, you'll see that information there. And just type in All Is Fine or Frigid, or you'll see it. The artwork is literally the human foot hanging from the tree, as it has been for the last year and a half for this play, thanks to Mr. Corey Willis. Also, I am in a serialized show during the 10 weeks of show at the Pit Loft from now until I don't know when.
What are you in?
I'm doing a serialized story at the Pit Loft.
Cool.
During 10 weeks of show. I have a minute-long slot every week.
Cool.
Which I'm very excited about. Oh, my God, Lily, this has been so much fun.
Oh, my God, it's been so much fun.
Yeah.
Bye.
And I'll see you guys next time.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.